Welcome to the Common Ground podcast presented by Cross of Christ Lutheran Church in Crown Point, Indiana. We strive to live our faith by acting on Christ's command to love our neighbors. We want to make a difference in our community. My name is Rick Mitros. Here with my wife today, we'll be moderating the discussion. In today's podcast, we'll be talking with Lynn Cowart, a longtime member of our congregation who recently retired from a nursing career spanning 46 years of dedicated service. Good afternoon, Lynn. How are you today?
Thanks for having me, Rick. Enjoying to be part of this podcast. Retirement is a work in progress. I enjoy not having to listen to the alarm at 5:30 in the morning, and I do enjoy not worrying about a snowstorm making it difficult to get to work. I'm spending my time helping at church a little more and just being able to do some projects around the house that I wanted to do for a while.
Very good. Tell us a little bit about your formative years and why you chose nursing as your vocation.
My formative years, I grew up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, a suburb of Milwaukee. My parents were very influential as far as my upbringing. They were very dedicated to my education, not just education, but my Christian education. I went to Lutheran grade school, Lutheran high school, and I did go to Valparaiso University in college. It was very important to them that I attend college. Neither of my parents graduated from college. My dad was in the Navy when he got back from that. He married my mom, but neither of them were college graduates. So I heard from an early days that I would be going to college. Why I chose nursing? Well, when I graduated from high school, if a person was going on to college and they were female, there were two choices usually, teaching and nursing. And I was good in science, I was good in math, and I kind of was suggested to try nursing, and I did at Valpo University, and I've loved it. It was a great choice.
Okay, very good. Was there any special person or educator that made a difference in your this life choice?
I'd say some of my early nursing directors, one of them specifically, I respected her the most when I first went into ICU, which was 43 years ago. She was a great mentor in that not only was she a great manager, but she also could do what you needed to do at the bedside. She not only could teach you, but she could walk the walk and talk the talk. And I respect people like that. She made a big difference. And then just some other people along the way that have mentored me and showed me how to get through difficult situations, how to manage people, how to manage staff. And then when I became the ICU educator, just looking back at the people that were educators prior to my position.
I think role models are very important to us in our chosen careers. How did your faith play a role in performing your duties and dealing with the everyday stresses of a nursing career?
I feel that when you're a nurse, it's a lot of science and knowledge that you have to have, but it is equally as important to have the communication skills and the empathy and the feeling, understanding what people and families are going through, equally as important as the knowledge base. And knowledge base comes in school, and the other parts of that need to come through experience. And as you have more experience and you're exposed to different situations, I think that empathy and that understanding of how to deal with situations, how to be there for families and patients, how to answer their questions kindly, how to put your arm around them and cry with them if you have to or want to.
Compassion,
absolutely. And I think that comes, and I feel that comes from a place in my heart that I felt like that was my mission field. I always, when I would show new students through the ICU and what they were going to experience, I would make sure they understood that the patient in the bed is not their only patient. You also take care of the family as well. And so a husband sitting in the corner looking at his wife that's just had a massive stroke, you have to talk to the husband in the corner and talk about, what did Martha like to do? And, you know, where did you meet? And just getting people to feel comfortable with your care and understanding that you are caring for the whole family, not just the patient.
Very good. You can see how, you know, growing up in the faith gave you some of those skills that maybe other people don't have that, you know, weren't involved in with a faith-based family and education.
I think God puts you, if you're open to it, God puts you in places.
I can see, Lynn, this is Brenda, by the way, but I've seen that in my career in the nursing field as well, that some people just have that natural compassion. You can see it in how they approach a patient, and maybe others don't have that same compassion. They're just there to do their job mm-hmm. and walk out the door. So it's admirable that you could bring in your faith, really, to show others in your compassion towards the family and knowing that you have to serve not just a patient in the bed. I admire that.
And also just realizing that just because it's end of your shift, I mean, if things aren't done or the family needs you to stay or your staff, when I was the educator, your staff needs something and I have my coat on and purse on my shoulder, and if something's needed, you just put it down and you do it. You stay for them. And just by your actions, you show your love for them and you show that your respect for them and your desire to help them grow as well, because we have to train the future nurses of the world. So
we do.
Yeah, we do. There's been a few instances that are very meaningful to me in my career. There's been 4 different situations where I've been working a shift I shouldn't have worked or a day I shouldn't have been there. People from our congregation have been brought in either through the ER or from some other following surgery, and I've been able to be there in very tragic situations, but be there as a support for a surviving member of the family, or just being there as support at the bedside for someone watching their loved one recover from surgery. And it's been an honor. And it didn't seem like anything to me at the time, but people remember.
Oh, absolutely.
People remember, and they will say, you were there when. And I think God puts us in positions all the time if we're open to seeing it, of how we can help our neighbor. Yeah.
Constantly serving, whether you're serving in your church or at work, you're still serving through His guidance.
Yes, yes.
I'm sure it was a great comfort to those family members.
It was.
Have a familiar face.
Yeah, often I was there before even the rest of their family could arrive. And so it was someone, which is great. I was honored to do that. And just a calming, tried to be that calming, supportive
presence
yeah. face, yeah. Because when people come into a hospital, or in my case, an ICU, it's never on their calendar that this is going to happen today. It's always either tragic, unexpected, not great news, and you need to be that calm presence to get them through things.
They were blessed to have you. Lynn, do you think your nursing has more or less overlapped in any ways into your church life?
Yes, I do. I feel that we've done things through our church that have helped the community greatly. We've been involved in blood drives and heart screenings. We got a defibrillator in our church in case that is needed at any point as we rent out our facilities. We had a defibrillator class and how to do CPR. We've had numerous big fundraisers to raise money for expenses incurred for serious health issues for members of our church. That was a lot of work, but very meaningful. Those people to this day, again, remember that. It took a big group of people, but it was impactful for the family's life that they could help pay down some medical expenses
right.
that, as you know, are astronomical sometimes.
So I know, I'm sure you have quite a few things planned for your retirement, getting to see your kids and your grandkids, and maybe going on some vacations, various fun things that you have lined up. Have you thought about how continue to use your nursing skills, maybe in volunteer work or continuing with our church work here? Have you thought about that at all?
Yes, I would like to do something on a volunteer basis, but I haven't figured out exactly what that is yet. Hospice has always pulled at my heartstrings, so maybe volunteering there one day a week, continuing to be involved here at our church with how we can outreach to our community as far as any health screenings we can do or health fairs we can do or put on. That would be helpful.
I think your compassion for the patient would really come into play with hospice, although I know that would be, I think I feel that that would be kind of difficult, but at the same time, I think it could be rewarding too. And you can have that same presence for that person that you were talking about earlier.
When you're talking about helping at hospice, it's definitely about the decision's been made. Family and patient are comfortable with end-of-life decisions, and now you're just supporting them and letting them have the best last days, weeks, months of their life, and it's usually a very peaceful, beautiful situation. I've sung hymns with families and patients. I've prayed with them. I've cried with them. And that's all something you can absolutely do in hospice. And I also find that people that choose that route often have a faith. They have some faith, might not be my exact faith, but they have a faith basis and they feel and know that their loved one is better off. They will be better off. They will see them again. I've heard that comment so many times, I'll see you again. And that's something you can absolutely and honestly share when you're in that hospice setting.
Lynn, you said something there that kind of caught me, that you would pray with families or patients, sing hymns with them, which touches my heart, knowing how much we love our music in the congregation. But I admire you for that. Were you ever in a situation where that was not well received? Or how did you know when to bring your faith so prominently forward with some patients or not others?
I think in my young days, it was hard, but I think the more you see and the more comfortable you are and the older you get, the more confident you are in just what you believe. And I mean, if a family is praying in there and you're in there and you say, I'll step out, and they say, please don't, I'll gladly gather around. Or if a minister is coming in and doing the sacrament of the sick, sometimes family can't be in there and they would like you there. And sometimes families are just two or three are singing, I walk in and I have to do something, but I don't stop them. And I just kind of hum along or sing softly with them. And then they say, oh, you know that hymn? And I say, yeah.
Yes. I've always been amazed at all the hymns you know. I mean, you've been a big part of our music ministry since the beginning of the church, not only planning, but being a part of the choir. And you, when no matter what hymn we're singing, You can just be walking down the aisle as it's being sung, and you start singing it because you have all that stuff memorized. How did that come about?
It's memory work from grade school. We had part of our memory work was not just learning the Ten Commandments and their meaning, or the Apostles' Creed and that meaning, but...
Or the multiplication tables.
No, exactly. But in confirmation and in religion class in grade school, you would memorize hymns. And that was your memory work, and you'd write down first or second verse of many, many different hymns.
Wow.
And then we had chapel every Wednesday, so you would go to chapel and sing those hymns. And I was in choir in grade school as well, so just the years of being exposed to music, church music.
And the power of the church music.
And the power of the church music.
We used to go out and do caroling at the old folk homes and stuff. I wish we could get back to that.
One thing that is very apparent, if you're ever in the situation where it's helpful, music and is very ingrained in people's minds, especially even as they get older. My dad, God love him, was 96 when he passed away, but he could remember old hymns. Like, he doesn't remember like yesterday or what happened 2 weeks ago or 2 months ago, but boy, you start singing a good old Baptist hymn and he would belt it out. And so it's often a connection that people have as their loved ones gets older, find a hymn to sing with them. And
it's just something that they can recall.
Yes.
I read an article not long ago about a retired pastor who played the guitar, and he started doing that. He would go and help people at nursing homes and older people and minister to them through music. And it is an unbelievable connection to our past. Connect music to earlier times, and you know, we hear a song on the radio and it reminds us of a certain time and things we were doing at that time.
Yes.
It's a very powerful thing in our lives.
My One of my mom's favorite songs, we just sang it last Sunday, was How Good Lord to Be Here. And it recounts the story of Jesus on the mountaintop with Moses and Elijah up here in the Transfiguration. And the last verse of the song is, How good, Lord, to be here, yet we may not remain, but since thou bidst us leave the mount, come with us to the plain. And my mother loved that verse because she would always say, we love to live in those glory moments where everything is perfect and fine, but God asks us to go down to the plain and live there and live among the people and bring your feeling, your commitment, your faith to where you live.
That was a very deep understanding your mother had.
Yeah, she was the reason my dad became a Lutheran. She was engaged once, and her fiancé said, well, just so you know, when we get married, I won't be going to church. And she cut that engagement off.
Wow.
And when she met my dad, he was Baptist, and she said, we're going to church every Sunday. And he said, okay. And he turned to Lutheran. She had a strong faith, very strong.
We can see where you got yours from.
That was a blessing I received from them. Absolutely.
And I think that it was the message of the mountaintop experience there is, yes, we will now go down the mountain. We'll take our faith out into the world, mm-hmm. as we're talking about with our guests here on this podcast, taking our faith out in the world and making a difference in our community. Very appropriate. And I said, your mom had a deep understanding of that song.
Yes, she loved to discuss Bible verses and hymns with her friends, and a lot of them were ministers, so she had great debates and back and forth. And yeah, interesting.
We've discussed faith and how it plays into your career. Do you have any other examples where faith has guided you or impacted you?
That's a great question. Yes, there are many times in our lives where either due to illness, loss of a job, things aren't going the way we expect, that our faith really bolsters us up, gets us through. One specific example I have is while I was going through my divorce, I knew that God expected me to get out of bed every day, take care of my three children the best I could, be the best mom I could, support them to the best of my means, and continue to be that loving, compassionate mom without showing anger, without showing disrespect to their father. I was very careful not to say negative things, to be uplifting and supportive, and not to criticize. I think that example, I hope, has filtered down to my children. I do know that they are wonderful husbands. They are outstanding parents. And I am proud of the men they have become. I'm proud of the women they have chosen to be their wives. I have the three best daughter-in-laws in the world, each specifically chosen for that exactly right for my sons. And I know God had a hand in that. I absolutely know.
Seems to be what they needed.
They did. And I absolutely know that God had a hand in that also.
I think God has a role to play in all those types of, he has a role to play in everything in our life, all the ups and downs, but especially some of the crises that we face, that's where we depend, we fall back on our faith.
Yeah.
It's very important for us.
You can find strength in your faith and knowing that he'll get you through this trial. That's what I found, and that's what I'm hearing from you when you were struggling so much being a single mom.
Yeah.
And handling everything on your own, you had your faith to fall back on and see you through it. I like the way you put, God expected it of me, so you didn't want to disappoint. Right?
It's easy to pull the covers over your head. You knew what was expected of you. And my kids in different parts of their lives have had, you know, as young boys and adolescent boys and young men, you know, they go through some wild times. And all I would pray is that God would hold them in the palm of his hand. And sometimes that's all you can do. But I would pray that constantly. Just God, keep them in the palm of your hand.
I'm sure your sons see how, you know, you've fallen back on your faith. That's been an impression on them, whether you think it does or not. It's been an impression on them.
I hope it's been a positive one.
Well, we want to thank you for being with us here today, Lynn, as we close this podcast for this month. We hope that you'll tune in next month as we continue our series, Common Ground, here at Cross of Christ Lutheran. Thank you very much.
Thank you.